हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके सो देन वी हैव the Chaitanya Upanayanam, the Nyaya Sutras, on page 13. Then, the logical fallacy, did we do this? Okay.
We are doing in the
separate mention of child.
No, Maharaj, we are doing the footnote.
Footnote on the okay, so no, just with the logical fallacy hetva bhasha is mentioned over and above the point of defeat that occurs when one misunderstands one's own statements or doesn't understand others' statements. Nigrahastana, right? That's the 16th one. So it's mentioned when it comes to that point, you don't actually have a debate, because a debate means people are understanding at least to some degree what they're talking about or what the other guy's talking about. When it comes to the point where one side doesn't understand or you know, either way, then it comes to nigrahastana, means you can't actually have a discussion anymore. You know, it just loses that. So, footnote 11. The purpose of japa and vitanda is to defeat the opponent at any cost, and as such, fault-finding in any form is permissible in these cases. But vada is a form of logical discourse between the preceptor and his disciple, without the eagerness of any to defeat the other. Thus, there is no need in vada to find fault at any cost. Nevertheless, if there is really any fallacy in the arguments of one, the other must point it out for the sake of truth. That is why Gautama mentions hetva bhasha over and above the nigrahastana. It means that you're presenting your point in your philosophy, so that means that there's something wrong in your logic in presentation, right, your understanding, but it's not like you completely misunderstand. There's a fault, there's a weakness there, so you point that out. Remember Schnozzle says, about the size of the nose, how many times it seems?
Yeah, you know what happens, you know that. Mark, I have a question on this point. It is mentioned that the vada is a discourse between the preceptor and his disciple.
Yeah.
Means it's a teacher and a
student. That would be the natural form. That could also be people who are equals. Like you have some maturity, someone else has some maturity, you're discussing a point. You have one angle of it, they have another. But you're not trying to defeat the other person, you're trying to understand it. So you're presenting their understanding, so it's more a vichar. You're looking at it from different angles, and because of looking at it from different angles, then those things that are solid are kept, and those things that are misunderstanding are lost. So that's the point, is that there may be a misunderstanding in there. So that's the hetva bhasha. Means that there's some misunderstanding in your trying to find the absolute, you know, the actual truth. Yes?
The natural stage for a gurukul graduate is first, then he comes in the gurukul, then he's in the pathshala, then he goes, and the final stage of his checking is he goes and in a debate, in the kind of in the king's court, then they present all these personalities who have finished their education, and they do the vada, and then they establish the principle of truth. So the vada is generally done in the king's court in presence of all the learned scholars of the kings, and all, as well as all the great teachers of different schools are brought in. and then.
So preceptor and the student and the disciple, it's a most natural form, but other forms can happen.
Yeah. It's just like any of these is that they're a principle, but then there'll be some detail. Like sometimes you see if you get in later on each of these 16 padarthas that have so many fine points. You know, different ways. It means, let's say you're taking a similarity. What kind of similarity? You know, similarity in form, similarity in use, similarity in this. You know, it's just like we were saying, like a jati is, okay, you're a manager. You control things. Like Hitler controlled things, therefore you're a Nazi. You know, you're using what do you call it? That comparison, but you're misapplying because that's not what's going on. You know, you're supposed to discuss within management. You don't take it back to something like that and then say therefore everything's wrong. You know, that's basically what do you call it? Putin did with Ukraine. You put it into that kind of thing, is that this happens, so therefore they're all Nazis, therefore, you know, Russia doesn't like Nazis, you know, nobody likes Nazis, but whatever it is, that they didn't like it because they had the problem with them, and so then, you know, French was so long ago, they're not even talking about it, so then, you know, how do you say, we have the 1812 overture to remember by, but then, you know, so then you move on, and so then, but, you know, that, so this is something, you know, so we're against that, so therefore it's, so that's that kind of wrong presence. So that final conclusion, because they have in the Upanaya, is basically this, therefore that. You know, this has happened, and so like this, and so this is like this, and so, but it's being done not in a logical way.
So it appears like logic, but actually it's illogical.
Yes, it's illogical because that's not the point being made. And that may not even be the point where you're doing it. Some people means if they sincerely think that that's the connection, then in one sense you can say it's hateful vasha. As long as they're open to what is, they just make that mistake. It's a doubt or this like that. But when people are using it for their own purpose, then it's definitely going to be not counted as hateful vasha, because technically hateful vasha is something you can correct. You know, if you can't correct it, then it's a more major means it's they're using it for some other a purpose. Does that make sense? It just may take, you know, 10 years to correct the descending ascending Hikma Basha, but whatever, they'll get it eventually. Yes.
I had an example. Can be the head of us, because in one essay the student Katigia was correct, and that's the point that karma and jnana, they can be helpful for bhakti,
right,
but they're not causing the bhakti, and they are not required for bhakti,
right,
because it was going fine, you know,
right,
from Katigia head to everything Upanaya, and then in the Siddhanta or the Nigamanas,
yes
the confusion was that it is required for bhakti. Karma and
gyan
are required
for
it's a mistake.
I don't know. So can we say that it's a logical fallacy?
No. Logical fallacy is about your reasoning doesn't prove your thesis point.
And what was that? Just
that's like in Siddhanta, while concluding you made a mistake, it was doesn't fall into any logical fallacy. It's just about
it's just a wrong conclusion.
Wrong vada?
Yeah.
It's a wrong vada, can you say that?
Well, I mean, the conclusion is that nirnaya?
Yes. Conclusion is nirnaya. But here it's about everything she said right, and just like with telling the final point, then she just flipped it.
Yeah.
If she did it out of, like, you know, if she really didn't understand, then it goes to nigrahasthana, she doesn't understand her own viewpoint.
Okay.
Oh.
So then, how would you exactly the hateful vasha? What would make it exactly?
There are five different kinds of hateful vasha that's explained when it comes. Basically, you tell a thesis statement and you give a reason, But your reason doesn't match your thesis statement because of the fallacy in your reasoning. Either it is mistimed or...
That's the wrong timing.
For example, if she did it in pratigya, like bhakti is dependent or karma and dhyana are required for bhakti, mm-hmm. then how would we call it if that was her reasoning, the pratigya, if it was wrong?
Her pratigya is bhakti and karma and dhyana is required for bhakti, and her reasoning is it's not required.
No, but I'm saying that
that's just a wrong thesis.
Wrong thesis then.
It just means so what you're saying is that the logic that you use to prove your point doesn't actually match the point.
Yeah.
That is logical fallacy.
Yeah, it means it's not the right fit. So, like you said, it might be the right thing, but it's the wrong time. Or the wrong person, or the wrong, you know, there's, like you said, there's five. So, in other words, it might have, if it was a different situation, it might be useful. But at this point, it's not. So it just doesn't match.
I have to get used to it.
Yes, no, that's the thing, is that's what we're going through. Here he's just giving the first, because we've only started, this is the second
first verse. Here he's just giving the connection, why at all they are required as a separate objects of study. Then he goes into the detail, explains like what exactly they are. This is all explained in first chapter. From the second chapter onwards, then they critically examine them, whether they are really useful or anybody else, whatever doubts they bring on each of these aspects, then he addresses those.
Yeah. So this is just like an introduction, so you're aware of it.
Yes.
And then yeah. Okay. Okay. The separate mention of chala, purposely distorting the statements of the opponent. Jati, futile retort based on mere similarity or dissimilarity. And nigrahastana, the point of defeat that occurs when one misunderstands one's own statements or doesn't understand other statements. It's for the sake of acquaintance. Upalakshana. Chala jati nigrahastana. When acquainted with, will be avoided in one's own argument and detected in those of the other. Right? So it's so that you know what is the, what technically is going wrong. Like that. Does that make sense? So the hetvavasa just means that it's the principle that the logic you're using doesn't match your thesis. You know, or the same, you know how you say it. Yeah, like let's say he's saying is that it's 8:45, so therefore and we should be engaged in our our appropriate occupational duties, so we should be getting ready for bed now. So time is off. That we should be engaged in our occupational duty according to the proper thing is correct, but we're applying it the wrong time. Does that make sense?
No. Sorry, Maharaj. The udaharan doesn't match your reason. Your explanation doesn't match your reasoning.
That's hateful.
Yeah.
Okay. So your example doesn't match your reasoning. That's the simplest. That's the
yes, yes.
Maybe put that in the thing.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, it's one of those things that it becomes more clear. Than
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Jati would be that example about the Nazis.
Jati, because that's a similarity. Chala means you're adjusting.
If you already, either you know that what you're doing is wrong, you have a wrong motive, that's why you're doing these three. Chala, Jati, and Nigrahastana. But hetvavasa can happen because you don't have the right understanding.
Oh, but you don't have evil intention.
Yeah, you may or may not have.
Yeah, it means you don't have to have.
Yeah.
The other ones can also be, but it would be from a... It would, I mean,
bad samskaras.
Yeah, bad samskaras or something. The doubts and misgivings are so much. As soon as you hear a particular, like nowadays, the political correctness, one word, using one context, they take it into another context. So depending on how they take it, they're either using Dhanijala, just by shifting the word, or they're taking the word meaning of the group that that word referred to, and then take it to another group. And this way, that's why anything you say, they go, because they're using these things. And at the same time, is they can't explain their own philosophy. So much of the time, it's just we call it the vitanda. You know, they're just arguing to win. Or maybe they have a political thing, so it doesn't matter what you say, you bring it around to that. You could be talking about cars, but then it brings it around to, you know, what happens in the house. And, you know, anything you do, you have an issue, it always comes back to that. So that makes I can't. Problem is with fairness.
No, she asked because of this problem. She asked whatever the question that she asked, that in the future the ISKCON will go in the wrong direction because of the attachment. So,
no,
is this the
I don't think so. No, that's just a let's see. Okay. Well, you're taking the principles that Prabhupada's disciples connect with Prabhupada, so then they'll understand it more, and as you go down the line, they'll understand it less. But it's not necessarily that it goes like that. It means on the material platform it can, but on the spiritual platform it doesn't have to be like that. It's just like one candle lights another candle. You know, it lights a third candle. The second candle has the same power as the first. But the next candle has the same, so the spiritual doesn't have that problem.
No, because if I see it such a way that our society should follow to two steps of previous position, it's a judgment, because our society on the basis of spiritual instructions of nature coming
Would you say anything? I think it's just it doesn't have to be. No, it means I think the japti and these things come more in when you interpret what's being said rather than having a doubt.
Yes, one thing is having a doubt, it could be. Or another thing, if you give an explanation to that, then it is a logical fallacy. Like A equal to B, B equal to C, then A equal to C.
Yeah.
That applies only in linear things. Then it doesn't apply if A equal to B, B equal to A. This may or may not be always true. I mean, I'm telling in the context of the logical statements. So these kind of things are either logical fallacies or there is...
So it can just be that. I mean, it's just like you have... the smoke on the mountain, and so, you know, where there's fire, there's smoke, so therefore there's fire on the mountain. But in that, we'll see, if you go, is that where there's smoke, there's fire, but where there's fire, there doesn't have to be smoke. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you've ever done, you know, you have a fire that's cleanly burning, there's no smoke. But if there's smoke, it's always coming from fire. Right? But it also could be, it's not smoke, it's just mist. It just happens to just be in one area. Sometimes you see, all the way across it's mist, but if it's just in one area because of the valley, then it may look like smoke. So it's not actually smoke, it's mist. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it'll come into the doubt, so it'll be more of that hatred body. The jati is when you're taking something and then twisting it to get another understanding.
So it's more important, it's more on the level of the purpose, not
yes.
On the level of final conclusions or whatever, because what's your purpose?
Yes, yes. So it means that it means you have the doubt, but then in explaining that, if you want to know, so it's in the line of the Vada, then you would take it more as an example given here, the Hetavakya. But if you have that doubt that you want to win the argument, so therefore you come up with some, you know, like that, then there'll be that jati and, I mean, jalpa and vikanga. But you could be using then these last three as understood. So then what exactly would be the difference? Because you didn't understand the connection. So the nigrahastana, what defines the nigrahastana as separate?
Nigrahastana is you contradict your own words.
Oh, you contradict yourself, okay. It's not that you didn't understand. So,
like you say, I like ice cream, and then after two statements, oh, ice cream is bad for health, therefore I don't like it.
Yeah. So in other words, what the you see journalists do a lot. Because they're just arguing to argue, and so then they'll say something, and then you'll say something else, adjust it to try to make it more. So then they'll attack that and say the exact opposite. Vriti, having stated that the 16 padarthas of knowledge leads to liberation, the next sutra describes how one can eventually mitigate all the sufferings by removal of ignorance. Right? So it leads to liberation in that liberation comes by removing ignorance. Right? We're conditioned because of ignorance. You remove ignorance, then you can free yourself from that position. So the whole idea is that through logic, then you can actually properly, you know, by applying these to Vada, then you probably get the right conclusion. So therefore, then you can advance by freeing yourself from illusion. So then Gotama's presenting is just done through logic. Logic will set you free.
But is that a valid statement?
It leads to liberation, but it only leads to liberation in the context of bhakti. It means you can say dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It may lead to moksha, but it doesn't lead to ultimate dharma.
But you don't have comments on that.
It's coming up. Okay, thank you.
So, whatever you said, logic can lead.
Knowledge leads to liberation, right? Because ignorance is the cause of bondage, so knowledge is the cause of liberation. So it becomes useful in that, but the point is unless it's real knowledge, it can't liberate.
Those are the Prameyas.
Prameyas are your ontology.
Well, there are 12 Prameyas.
It's funny. Yesterday in the class she explained what happens when a lot of new information attacks you and then you're completely disoriented, and now we can see that happens. And then she was saying to the students, just, you know, take it easy, don't overload yourself. But there's a desire to understand everything right away. And if not, it's like, nah.
I know,
because that's how it works. Well, that's the thing. As we come across, we'll start to see where it goes, because there's subtleties that makes the difference.
Yeah, you have to understand at least to see the subtleties before that you see the gross stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, we've heard what it does. Now this is the now we're going up from our position, bringing it up to there. So that's the thing. The Vedic will say that what are you trying to attain, what its purpose is. Then you come down to where you are, and then try to take it up. And so then you will have that as you're going up through the process, it'll become more clear. But once you get to there, then it'll be easier to also then take others through. You know, because you know, even though they don't, but you can see and take step by step, use how you use the example, how you explain. With time, you bring it up again, and then slowly, slowly, they start to get it. So then, at some point, the switch happens.
It's interesting also how, you know, like super sharp people, they do that. But those who are smart, but a little slower, they just let see the information, and then, you know, eventually...
So soon.
But it takes a little longer, like, you know, sometime longer. But, you know, you have to be thoughtful, of course. I mean, you have to contemplate and study. But still, you will get it. So there's not as much an anxiety as for the sharp people. Yeah,
it's like the saying, I'll sleep on it.
Yeah.
Because
that's our tactic.
And then when you wake up in the morning, you go, oh yeah, that's it.
Africa.
Yeah. Huh? You're not a. I'll sleep on it person. For me, it's the shower.
Oh really?
Yeah, when you take a bath, that's why everything gets
you. Revelation happens.
Yeah, it's always that's you know, like the bathtub guy, the Eureka guy. I've always looked because that when you're taking a bath, you don't think about anything else.
Yeah, you just doing shower.
This, that, is it right? It's not too hot. But everything, you know, where's all the stuff? So completely, everything else in your head disappears, so that it's clean. So now you can think about it. Horrible and shaving. So early in the morning. So he gets all kinds of text messages early in the morning because I thought, hey, we can do this. And then, well, yeah, but there's also these things. Yeah, we can do that. No, but then there's also this.
So just to end on the Shala, Jati, and Igrahasthana, they are like purposes. Means you know that. You know, the other person doesn't mean what he's saying, but you want to twist it.
You twist it.
But Hetva Vasa, logical fallacy is, other person has said his point, you have a refutal point, means you have your own thesis, but the reasoning you give, you need to prove your thesis.
Yeah.
But the reasoning you give for proving your thesis is wrong.
It doesn't match your...
It doesn't match your...
If you say it's a proof, like sometimes it happens. I just like it. You know, it's a proof.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, what do you call it? Pratyaksha.
Yeah, pratyaksha.
But that's only when there are no other doubts. Everybody else agrees, like, then it is valid. The pratyaksha proof. But when there is somebody's doubt, that no, this is not that, they have a contention. I have something else that is more better than this.
Because it's highly subjective.
Higher.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel it, you know, it's okay, but it's your personal experience.
Yes,
doesn't mean everybody else has the same.
But those pratyaksha, which is universally uncontended, becomes a valid proof.
Mm. Means that you experience it, that, but it has to be still be based on the authority. So if Shastra says like this, and therefore then contemplating it and practicing it, you come to the point of understanding it, and that's how you see, then you can say that pratyaksha has a value because it's the natural, it's the vijnana of having heard jnana from.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. For example, we say that ice cream is good, and my argument, I like it. Then we say that, you know, Brahmanas usually like sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Ice cream is sweet, so it's good for the Brahmanas.
Yeah, at least you can take that cap.
So what is this?
It's a Hetva Vasa.
It's not good for me.
No, it's Vada.
And what do you mean? Yes. that's Siddhanta. That's
argument.
It's good for Brahmins always. It's good
always. Always.
She said it's not, it's liked by Brahmins.
No. Oh, I see.
Sugar is good for Brahmins. Ice cream is good. And ice cream is sugar, so...
So it's extrapolating the point. It's not good always. You can't eat...
No, for the Brahmin, it's always good. But maybe for other conditions surrounding the Brahmin, it's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, if you...
For the soul,
only,
it's good, not for the food.
But if you only always, then it's valid?
Yeah, whatever is... the logic which we use, which is... Like, for example, here if there is an extrapolation from one thing to another, so then it is subjective, it again goes. But for example, I say, I like silk more than khadi because silk is smooth. Then there is no contention. Yes, it is smooth. The smoother the better because you like it is smooth. Then there is no contention. Everybody agrees silk is smoother than khadi or anything which is rough.
Okay.
So, but there are places where there is contention. You say ice cream, and somebody will say some other seat is better than, then there are points of contention. It should be unanimous.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Yeah, and then you can get into, is it actually ice cream?
It's vegan or not vegan, you know, all that
stuff. I wanted to say, if for example you say, I like the first example which gave in my life was ice tea.
Yeah, see, that proves the point, right?
Huh?
Brahma is like ice cream.
Because I could have used pizza, but it's not universal.
Are you sure?
Yes, because you said vada and dosa are the best ones.
No, yeah, okay.
But ice cream is cool feel, they are best you can, at least.
Yeah, well, it also all
freeze.
I mean, I also see pizza is quite amazing. Then you get pizza with ice cream?
Yeah, that becomes universal.
Okay. You have to find a universal principle.
Yeah, it's more and more different.
Also, Maharaj, most important point about which is always discussed is when it is pratyaksha or when it is shabda, we don't apply logic. Logic is only applied in anuman. Means when there is a doubt.
When there's a doubt, there's no doubt. Then
when there is pratyaksha, what you see.
But you had a doubt.
It's obvious, right?
It's obvious.
You had a doubt.
Whether it's correct or wrong.
But you had a doubt about ice cream, how good it is. You had a doubt.
Because if somebody hasn't perceived it before, then there is a doubt.
So then we have to use logic. Otherwise,
logic.
If everybody agrees like us, we
yes.
agree unanimously that ice cream is best. So no
because that is protection. Only in the case of anumana, the things which you know and the things which you don't know. Generally, the things which you know are pratyaksha, and the things which you don't know are shabda, because we don't know. And
I wanted to prove my point that I know. I wanted everybody else to know that.
The things which you know in general, but not know in particular, are the ones where we apply.
Well, there's that one. What do you call it? I can't remember the shloka. It basically says Surya, likes. Fire,
uh-huh.
You know, the worship of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ganga, then it's water, and it gives another one I can't remember. And the last one is and Brahmins like sweets.
That's
our. It's this. Brahma means what's dear to them.
Yeah.
So then Brahmana Priya Modakam, or you have the Brahmana Bhojana Priya.
Yes.
So when you say Bhojana Priya, that includes the pizza. When you say Brahmana
Priya,
yeah, then that means it's the sweets.
And also Vishnu, Lord Vishnu likes sweets. Out of all offerings to him, sweet rice and then the sweet cakes and all, those are the best offerings. This I read when I was looking for something
on the special. That's also, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the in Vrindavan, then Krishna's favorite food is dairy.
Yeah.
So then, all that you put together, you know, then you know, as a tart, then you get the conclusion.
The condensed form.
Yes. Yeah, condensed, right? Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to win the argument.
So now, are you using jalpa or the? Well, I mean, you are trying to give some argument. You do have a thesis, so then it would be jalpa. You're going to win. But now, this would be the difference: is that okay? Now you have an established truth. The other person doesn't understand the established truth. You're trying to get them to understand that. You know, so in that way, you could say you're trying to win the discussion. But technically, it's not. Jalpa, because you actually there is an absolute you're trying to prevent that. So then
it's vada.
So then
I said it. Yeah. Just to deviate her, then you didn't say it's like no Brahmana's life. You say it's good for Brahmana, that's why.
object. I see that. He objected because he said it's good, because that means the Brahmin may not like it. But you're saying it's good for you, you should eat it. But he was saying it's the proper approach is Brahmins like it. So if you say Brahmins like, then... Or you can say Brahmins naturally like.
Because it's not terminology, it's how exactly you are defining the point.
Yeah, yeah.
I know her intention. If I know her intention was to just, she want to say they like, but because she used the word good, purposively then I'm catching on that word, and that's the chala. Yeah.
But you can retort and say that they might like, but some of them don't know. They never tried.
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying good, so they might try it, and then they will like.
And also they might like, but it's not necessarily good for them.
The word that they like it is from the Shastras. There is, it's already a Siddhanta established, so you can't like argue on that.
Yeah, whether it's good or not is another thing.
Yeah.
So if you don't like it, the question comes whether you are a Brahmin.
Ah. Yes. When I was in South, I was told, because, you know, we'll, you know, have our order of eating, like in Gujarat, eat the sweets and all this and that. And when I was in South, then I don't know if it's the style, if it's general that when we were in, where were we? We were in Subramanyam. I think it's in Karnataka. I think Subramanyam's in Karnataka. They have the leaf plate, and they put everything on it before you start. They have the everything like that, and all the preparations that are around them like that. And so, because Bengali is one of the few that you get something, you start, because that goes together. Here it's, you know, you have variety, you can eat, and like this. But in that, there'll be some dal, a little bit of dal. Means even though they always eat sambar rasam, they do cook dal if they're being shastra, because they know shastras say dal goes with rice. So it's a little dinky bit of dal, very thick, just sits there in that. And they put a little bit of sweet. They're going to serve sweet later. Dal, that's it. But it's very interesting. If they know you and they don't look, but if they don't know you, they watch how you eat. If the first thing you eat is the sweet, then they know, okay, this guy's a Brahmin. Right? You know, if the first thing you eat is the dal, then you know, okay, you know that that's the order. But you're not necessarily, you wouldn't be a Brahmin. A Brahmin would eat the sweet, then eat the dal with the rice, then start on whatever it is, sambar, like this, and the sabji.
And the point of putting everything in the plate is, they put everything and then they offer their prayers. So when we went to the place, I was skeptical. When I don't know like where we are, when I was skeptical, I was not eating. Other brahmacharis, they put their hand in it. And the old lady, she was terribly upset. Like, what kind of the old lady are you?
Oh, because she didn't offer the prayers here.
Yeah. We offered up our prayers.
Right.
But then, according to their custom, you offer the prayers after everything is there, then you offer the prayers.
I mean, it's becoming
old. Well, because it's there, and then it's prasad, and then the Lord, and you remember, and all this and
how
that.
Long does
that
it take?
Then, see,
they serve everything in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but this is...
It's like
this would be the what do you call it, element of majesty and all that.
And also the thing is, in general, only we offer the whole bhoga to Lord and then bring it back and have it. There is, I think, no custom and nobody
else does. Yeah. Or everybody else is, what they offer, that's the prasad. The other is that you eat, but it has to be offered first. So they'll take it back only when they put what's on the Lord's plate into the pot of rice, then it's considered prasad. They don't consider he eats all of that. So it's where that came from, I don't know, if it's actually Sampradaya or it's just some another Hindu thing. Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't understand.
Well, that's the point, it's not understanding.
So for them, if you ate it, it means you ate bhoga?
No, it's more about not culture.
Lack of
culture.
Oh, that's normal.
Okay.
Parasite was like, they shouldn't consider any little themselves. We want everything perfect.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have to know the customs of the place, what to eat, what to not eat.
Vrindavan also, you have to follow their rules. Yeah, Puri, they have their own rules.
Yeah, yeah. Vrindavan, I find the most difficult in Vrindavan when they do a bandha. Mandar?
Yeah.
Because they put everything on your plate also. And then, you know, whoever's the most senior and things like that and all that, he starts to, you know, how you say, Madan Mahan Kija. He goes through every deity. And the more mature he is, the more knowledge he knows, the more. Then he goes through all the holy places. And then when he takes a breath, then you see so many times the Babaji, he takes a breath, they all start going like this, and then he goes, Radha Kunak, that, and they all sit back as if they I've seen it even happen that two or three times they've leaned forward. And sometimes it'll take 10 minutes. They're thinking, what's going on here?
Well, that's where devotees took it, because I've seen a few times in the temple. You know, you start. Serve the person of the, you know, Sunday program, I don't know which one. Devotees, I'm not talking about karmas. Then you put something on the plate, and then somebody starts to chant Sari Radhi Kajal.
Yeah.
They chant nicely, you know, sometimes with musical instruments. Yeah. And then, you know, at the end, you're already ready to eat, and then they start Hare Krishna. And they start going on like this for, you know, sometimes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what to do. You know, you can eat, you can start eating because it's already kirtan, the prayers are finished. Oh, it's part of the prayers, you know, it depends how enthusiastic.
It depends on what's their attitude. At least if their attitude is they're doing, you know, some cool stuff, then you also have the option of getting up and walking away. You know, take a tulsi leaf and then walk away.
That's why we are Gauriyas, we are Bengalis. The Bengalis, the Shadow.
You say the prayer,
no,
and then you start, you know, like, does he only have the rice and then the shukta like that? While that's going on, and, you know, ideally you wait till everyone gets, but if it's one of those huge lines, you don't necessarily. Then if everyone's not getting, you don't have enough servers.
So we have Kauriya mood.
Yeah.
We follow our culture.
That happened at a festival. In other words, that happened at a festival. It's one of these big, I've seen it. Where it's like, let's say it's a big Janmashtami festival or something, everyone's there, maybe not Janmashtami, let's say a Radhashtami or something, it's been big kirtans before and this and that. And somebody goes and then just starts spontaneously the kirtan and everyone gets into it and they dance going and they sit down and everyone was into it. But what happens is some of the devotees, they think that was really cool and all that, I'm going to do that. And then they do it and everyone's not into it. They would like to honor Prashad, because honoring Prashad is devotional service, strangely enough. But
also, Maharaj, most of the time, some senior devotees take everybody doesn't get a plate, and they want to see that everybody served something, then you could start eating, otherwise it like doesn't look good, somebody started eating.
No, this is where they specifically do it. It's like in the temple sometimes, at the festival, somebody will do some far-out thing in the kirtan. And then you'll see a few months later, then the brahmacharis here will do the same thing. But it's not the same mood. It doesn't catch. It doesn't bring out. But they use the techniques, so they miss the. Yeah. Yeah, those kind of things I find. What's the necessity? You already have enough. You know, enough moods. Okay. Sutra 112. Concerning suffering, dukkha, birth, janma, material activity, pravritti, evil, dosha. This always comes in there, okay? False knowledge, mitya jnana. The removal of mitya jnana leads to the removal of dosha. So when you remove the improper consciousness about the, how you say, the, that are just about the doubt about the glory of Prashad, then once you understand and appreciate Prashad, then the dosha that's on the plate starts to be removed.
I was thinking more on the pan, because we are bothered about removing it from the pan, that it should not stick onto the pan. Because automatically when it's in the plate, it means no need to talk about it.
So that means if you don't have the proper knowledge, then it will stick to the pan and you can't get it out of the pan. If you have proper knowledge, it will come out of the pan.
So it depends on the pan?
Well, you could say that, but it also depends upon the cook. Because the cook would choose his pan, and if he has no other things, he would have the knowledge how to make it work. Like remember as a kid, we'd have these pans, they would stick. We were out camping, but when you put in the, you know, the pancake in the pan, you didn't use the spatula to get it out. One, we didn't have them when you go out camping. Who remembers to bring that? So you would take the pan and holding the handle, you would very sharply, with the flip of the wrist, hit it on the rock. And the movement of it would slide it over, and then it would flip it.
Yeah.
I've also noticed for the European cooks, the professionals, they have the handle. They take that and hold the handle and they hit it on the front of the handle, just where they hold back. You understand?
Yeah.
And just where they, just behind where the handle touches, they hit it with the palm of the ball. This is on the foot, it's the foundation. You know, the base of the palm, you know, just there, very sharply, you know, once or twice, and the thing will jump. You know, first time a little bit jump from here, then that, and then when they get the whole thing just open, then they'll deal with it, because if you use the spatula, it'll break. So like that. So when you move the mitigana, it means those, that knowledge just leads to it's sticking, and then you have the a proper knowledge, free from ignorance, then the dosha comes out of the pan nicely.
It's not the handle.
Ah, I see.
You get the whole body out of it.
Yeah. Well, I've seen this. So one devotee was telling me, he was sitting there with a group of Brahmins at a festival. And they were waiting, it was in between, they're waiting on something. And then somebody takes that, what's that, something? Shukla Bharadaram Vishnu. What is it? Shashivarnam Jam? Yeah,
Prasanna.
Yeah. It's about, it's generally traditionally understood as Ganesh. That by worshipping Ganesh, he removes all obstacles, you know, so the Shuklam like that is connected with him and all this. So then the different Brahmins, he would say, he would say that. And he would take it and break the words differently and give different meaning, because shukla can also mean white. So then he was saying is that, okay, when you have, you know, when you have the daiwata, and then when you put the white, you know, yogurt on top with the other spices that it removes, you know, and he gets into how it removes what obstacles and all that, you know, about the hunger is the obstacle, like this and that. It says this, I think, is the, you know, true meaning of the verse. And then they'd all laugh, and then says, yes, but there's another one. And he would talk about the dobi. And the dobi would be bringing the pot, you know, big bundle of white clothes, you know, so the shukla. And I guess shukla bara means bara, can also mean weight. So the white clothes on the back of the donkey, when you see that coming, then prasanna, I think, means you become happy. You know, just like when you see the daiwada like this with all the everything, then you become happy. And then someone else did it another way, and that, they just did that until it was, you know, they had spent their time, and then it was time for doing that. So then, you know, it's good, right? You know, so we see that our samskaras are improving. Yes, but it's... No? Okay. Okay. Okay, so concerning suffering, dukkha, birth, janma, material activity, pravriti, evil, dosha, and false knowledge, mitigana. Okay, so it's about these five, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So removal of mitigana, so now we'll go backwards, leads to the removal of dosha. The removal of dosha, you know, evil, leads to the removal of pravriti, means material activities. The removal of pravriti leads to the removal of janma, because if you give up material activities, there's no more birth. And removal of janma leads to the removal of dukkha, thus resulting in apavarga, liberation. So that's he's explaining how it works. So now, in this, it's just like we say that there's dharma and then there's sad-dharma. The same way as there'll be liberation, but then there'll be the eternal liberation. Means when Bhakti, Madhvacharya, that he explains liberation, because he's giving in the Navaprameyas, like that. Then in that ontology, liberation is the actual entering into a spiritual planet in a relationship with the Lord. He says that's liberation. Below that, that's not, it's temporary. It means you go to the Brahmajyoti, it's temporary, you'll be back. So he doesn't call that liberation. Though, technically, you could say. So here, it's just the general things this will do. So if you apply it on the thing, is that, okay, you have improper knowledge, therefore you've done something wrong, therefore you've done a specific material activity that then puts you into a certain situation that you suffer. You know, in other words, by that material activity it started a particular situation. Right? Like you didn't know that the guy standing there was a very big guy, so you dealt with him badly because of that ignorance, and then you started now an inimical position in which you'll suffer. You can take it down to that level, or you can take it up to the level of mukti, and then you can take it on to bhakti. So you can apply it at all the levels. Because mukti can also mean just removing the problem, like you're hot, so you turn on the fan. When the fan goes on, you sit back in a liberated state. Right? So you're freed from that problem. Right? But that'll be on the anamoy. Then when you have the social problem, you're free from that. Then it's just something works out and everybody says, oh yes. So then on dharma, it'll be that, and then on moksha. Does that make sense? Because you can also say it gives birth to that situation. But here he's looking at it from, you're in the material world because of false knowledge. So when you get rid of the false knowledge, that'll get rid of mundane consciousness, that'll get rid of material activity, that'll get rid of birth, therefore suffering, because suffering comes from material, being in the material, engaging the senses in the material platform. So he's saying this will lead to, so this is his philosophy. So that's what he gives, so that's why there's no sadhana. Because you just follow logic, that should do. But then how do you live your lifestyle? That he doesn't say. Because it's just taken for granted you're going to follow the Vedas and that life's the Vedic lifestyle, so you're going to do that. But you have to add this, that's what's insane. And then I think Vaisheshika, okay, that yes, that's missing, but on that you have to see the atomic theory. And that, but then you have to categorize. So everybody says yes. Something. Yeah. No.
Because by Nyaya, Gautama says that we can engage in Nyaya only, that's our son.
No, he just doesn't mention it because people who are into logic and argument don't look at that. They have their own like, and then logic and that is either,
so they're like modern Christians.
But they believe in the Vedas. They're agnostic, is that what you said? What's it, Mr.? No, what's that? Like Buddhists and that, they don't believe in the Veda, but they believe in the Veda. They follow the Veda. So they'll follow the Vedic lifestyle. So that's not a question, but it's kind of like a separate thing from this. They can show logically why you should follow it, not that. But it's not that it's part of... Nyaya itself doesn't describe a sadhana.
Oh, because we can say that because everybody follows sadhana in his time. So he didn't think it's needed an extension.
Yeah. Well, it means you're going to remove ignorance, then the Vedic culture can do that. The Vedic literature can do that. And so therefore it explains these things, so it's taken care of. We don't have to... We're just discussing that logical process of which you use. So you can say ultimately it will get you there. But it's like the persons that Gautama is saying that there's Pramana and Pramaya and then 14 more. Other people say, no, there's only those two. These others are included. Right? But he's pointing out, no, you have to have these 14 also, otherwise it's not as exact. So he's technically doing the same thing. He's saying, just with logic, everything will be fine. But the point is, you have to show how everything else has to be included.
So he's saying his system is good. It's good, but not complete.
Yeah. 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 We just use the logical system. We're not using it that it itself will give you, because dharma won't give you bhakti. only sad-dharma, only the direct. So this is indirect. It's one of the 14 books. It's Apararupa.
So the same fallacy we use when we say, of course it's for Krishna.
Yeah, we're avoiding the you know, we're avoiding the technical thing of the logic, but we're also not seeing just how the achara is and all that. We're just, of course, it means I'm a devotee. It means, like he said before, I'm a devotee. Devotees engage in devotional service. I'm a devotee, so therefore, whatever I do is devotional service. You know, so it's not, because that means you're making that connection. Because devotees engage in devotional service, that means unless you're engaged in devotional service, you're not a devotee. So only if you're a devotee by following devotional service can you say that everything I do is devotional service. So they're using a logic, but it only works one way. It doesn't work both ways. So, yeah, but it would be it means you could see is they're not taking it far enough. How is that? So, you know, so then what's their stand? So you can turn all these questions into a environment of vada by pointing out where the weaknesses and what they should do, and gradually then along with figuring out the descending process of figure out how to properly ask questions and have discussions. Yeah? There's something in there.
Can I ask one thing that was easier, but it's like you're speaking to Kama, you've done this for understanding how to read, for example, text, and how to gymnastics.
Yes.
And as I see, main purpose of Jaya also is a technical point, how to understand something.
Yes.
Why Jaya included in six philosophical systems, not in that part? About technical applications.
Because where do you use it? You use it with, you know, specifically with the philosophy. You know, so that's anvikshiti. Because you have the philosophy, but if you just have the philosophy, you don't logically look at it, then you'll just have philosophy. When you logically look at it, that becomes anvikshiti. So logic on its own, you can be, argue on anything. What's the point? So it's just a tool. So when it becomes connected with the philosophy, so in other words, when you connect logic with the philosophy, you get anvikshiti. When you connect dharma with the philosophy, then you get sad-dharma. You understand? So all of these aparavidyas are to be connected to paravidya. That's why they're apara. Means they're not para, but they're connectable to para. Avidya means that's not connectable. You don't see any connection. So that's why in the Vedic, Prabhupada mentions that a person following the Vedic culture, even though they're not doing so well at it, is better situated than somebody outside of the Vedic culture. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai.